Okay, let's review Brachas Daf Nun Gimel. The Gemara first discusses whether on Motzei Shabbos you make a bracha on the ner that was not shoves mi melacha b'Shabbos, a ner that didn't rest from melacha on Shabbos. So it's also to make a bracha samuch l'chashecha on a ner that belonged to a guy when it was the original light that was lit by a guy, since it wasn't shoves mi melacha. And there goes there also not to make a bracha on an additional light that was lit from that, and not to make a bracha on a ner shel guy that was lit from another guy. A Yisrael that lit a ner from a guy, or a guy that lit a ner from Yisrael, since it has additional lights of heter that were added to it, you can make a bracha. We also make a bracha on a ner that they lit on Shabbos for Yoledes, for a cholish yish basakana, that was needed to save a life, because it's not considered that any avera was ever done with such a ner. The Gemara tells us that if someone is traveling outside a city and he sees a fire, so if half or more than half of the people in the city are Jews, he can make a bracha on that fire. If less than half are Jews, he cannot make a bracha on that fire. A ner that from a gathering of Ovdei Kochavim that they ate together, you should not make a bracha on, because we assume a stam asiba of Ovdei Kochavim is l'avodah zarah, so you're not allowed to make a bracha on such a ner. The Gemara then discusses if you find a piece of pottery that is rubbed with oil and has a flame on it, so is that a violation of Hotzah? So Gemara says yes, quotes a brisa that one is chay for Hotzah of the flame itself, because the fire that one removed from one rishus is still considered to be there when you put it down in the other rishus. When you pick it up in rishus yachid, then you transport it and put it down in rishus ram, it's considered to be the same fire. The cheres, you're only going to be chayiv if it has the shear that one is chayiv for otzah for on kli cheres. Then the Gemara discusses whether the person makes a bracha on a ner that wasn't lit for the sake of light. We make a bracha only on a ner that was lit for the sake of light, but not on ish shel kivshan that was used for burning up bricks, for the making of bricks, nor on an ash of an oven that was made for baking, because those things are made for baking and for making bricks, but not to provide light. On the or of the Beis HaKnesses, it depends. If there's an Adam Chashuv, so Machlok Rashi tells us which way it goes, but let's say like Rashi, if it was an Adam Chashuv, you don't make a bracha on it, because we assume that the light was lit for the Adam Chashuv and not for the light. If the no Adam Chashuv, then you wouldn't make a bracha in it. If the shamish of the chazanah knesses, the person who takes care of the shul, eats there, and there's not enough moonlight for him to eat by, then you could also make a bracha on it, because we assume that the ner was lit to light up the room for him to be able to eat by it. If you have a dead body, that when they carry out the dead body, they would have a ner there for him, even if it were during the daytime, just as a din of kavod ames, then you wouldn't make such a bracha on such a ner, because we see that it's purely a ner that's lit for kavod, it's not a ner that's lit for the light. If we conclude with the discussion whether it's better to have one person make a bracha on the eish for everybody, or to have everybody make their own bracha. So according to Beis Hillel, one person should make the bracha, Rav HaMahadras Melech. Better to have everybody join in on a single bracha. According to Beis Shammai, no, better to have everybody make their own bracha, because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash, there's going to be so much Bittul Torah. If everyone has to be silent at the same time, they're going to have to give a clap on the bima and quiet everyone down, and everyone's going to have to listen. It's going to cause too much Bittul Torah. Let everyone make their own bracha on their own time. We won't have to worry about the Bittul Torah. On Nun Gimel and Beis, we discuss whether you make a bracha on a fire that's distant from you, or a fire that you don't see. So according to Rava, you have to stand near the fire in order to be able to get hanah from the fire, so much so that you can be able to tell the difference between two different types of coins. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's enough that the fire be ra'ui to get hanah if you were standing close, but you don't actually have to be standing close and get hanah. We don't make a bracha on a ner that you don't see the flame, even if you're able to use the light that's coming from that flame. For instance, around the Keren Zavis, around the corner, where the ner is on one side of the building and you're perpendicular on the other side of the building, so you don't see the ner itself, but you see the light coming out of it. Or if you have Gechalum Lochashos, you have coals that are sizzling, you can make a bracha. Gechalum Omos, you don't make a bracha. If you don't have a ner to be mevarech on, you don't have to go out of your way in order to be able to find a ner. The Gemara then discusses which pesamim one could make a bracha on. So number one, we say that anyone that comes from a sibus of the chavim with mistamalav adzori, you don't make a bracha on such pesamim. Pesamim that's for a mace or for a beis akise, just to get rid of the foul odor, we don't make a bracha. If you have oil that a person rubbed on his hands, on dirty hands, again, it's not to create a positive odor, it's just to mask a foul odor, so you don't make a bracha. Someone goes into a perfume store and he smells the perfume, he does make a bracha every time he enters into the store, because that is supposed to be for him to smell. That's the point of the perfume. The guy who owns the store wants people to enjoy the smell so that they'll be inspired to want to buy the perfumes. The Gemara then discusses if a person leaves the place where he originally ate, does he have to go back to that place in order to make a bracha? And how long after he finished eating, can he still make the bracha? So according to Beis Shammai, he does have to go back. According to Beis Hillel, he only has to go back if he left Bemezid. But if he left Beshogeg, he can make the bracha wherever he remembers. Rabbi Yochanan says you can make a bracha so long as you're not hungry, so long as you're still full from what you ate before. But Rish Lakish says it depends. If you ate a small amount, then you can make the bracha calls man that you're still thirsty, machmas the achila that you had. You still have a little bit of a desire for a drink from that food. But if you ate a large amount, then the shear is kedehilu charba milin, the amount of time it takes to walk 4 milin. And the daf concludes with the discussion of a person hears a bracha from a child, but he only hears the end, or someone who hears only the end of a bracha, do you answer amen in those situations? So when it comes to a child, we don't answer amen after a bracha of a child, that he just says in order to learn how to make a bracha. We don't answer amen after such a bracha, but if the child is making a bracha like the bracha on Haftarah, where he's actually doing something, where he's actually being motzias in something, then we would answer amen. And then the Gemara says, when it comes to hearing only the end of a bracha, so if you heard it from a Jew, you would answer amen. If you heard it from a Kuti, you would not answer amen, because you don't know who he's making the bracha to. You didn't hear the Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam. According to the Tanakhama, there's greater schar for a mevarich more than there is for someone who answers amen. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's the other way around. Gadol ha'una amen, yoser min ha'mevarich. That is our chazara of brachos daf nun gimel.